Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise tonight. I'd like to say good evening to everybody. I hope everyone had a good day today. I know we're trying to get a little rain tonight, but thank God for Jesus anyway. Amen.
Amen.
We're so thankful for the opportunity to teach tonight. Our pastor, he's in a conference this week. I thank God for him. He could have chose anybody he wanted to teach tonight. But thank God for our pastor. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, dear God. And we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this Bible study lesson. We pray, dear God, that you reduce me, dear Heavenly Father, that you use me for your purpose. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you clear my mind, dear Heavenly Father, where I can think right. And when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, the glory, all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray and do thank you. Amen. Certainly want to thank Deacon McClain for opening us up in devotion this morning. To our pastor in his absence, to our ministers, our church officers, minister wives, church members, and those who are watching virtually, we just want to thank God for Jesus this evening. Tonight our text, well, tonight we're going to look at Psalms 25. We're going to begin with Psalm 25. I know we've been studying in the book. I am a church member. Well, we're going to let Pastor teach that, amen? Y'all been having a good time over here when I am a church member. I've been keeping up with y'all, but we're going to let Pastor handle that, amen? Thank God for him. Psalms 25, for those who had their Bibles. I'm reading out the New King James Version tonight. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Tonight we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Very, very familiar passage of scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And it reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Amen. Amen. Tonight we want to talk about lean and depend on the Lord. Lean and depend on the Lord. This book of Proverbs was written mostly by King Solomon. Everyone knows the value of good advice and listening to those who are wiser than we are gives us the benefit of their lifelong experience. Proverbs is more than a collection of tips and tricks. It passes on a core knowledge and experience that God says we must have if we are to live successful lives. These proverbs are universal principles that apply to all people of all times. Proverbs speak to modern problems as much as to ancient ones, because they concern human nature and God's ways. Human nature has not changed since Solomon's time. Neither has God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Only the landscape around us has changed. The purpose of this book of Proverbs is to give a course of instruction in wisdom, preparation for life, and the ways of life in God's world. Proverbs started off with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we talked about the fear in chapter 1, verse 7. King Solomon started the book off setting the record straight. Fear the Lord motivates us to obey God's commandments, and obedience to them constitutes true wisdom. The first thing we want to look at here is trust in the Lord. When we're talking about trust, trust in the Lord is a constitution that's dependency on God. We as Christian people will lean and depend on ourselves, lean and depend on everyone else, but we just won't lean and depend on God. Sometimes things are difficult for us to do, and sometimes it's difficult for us to lean and depend on him. And one of the reasons why is because sometimes our faith is not where it should be. We have to be honest with ourselves and really focus on ourselves and to understand that faith plays a big part in trusting the Lord. You can't trust someone you don't believe in. You can't trust someone who you don't have faith in. So you have to really realize that faith plays a big part in trusting the Lord. We don't want to point the finger at nobody. We don't want to talk about anybody. We just want to talk about ourselves. When we're talking about leaning and depending on the Lord, we have to really survey ourselves and look at what we do on a day-to-day basis. When you're talking about faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. When you look at faith, faith is translated from the Greek word pistis, which means belief, trust, there go that word again, or confidence in someone or something. So we have to have confidence in the God of our salvation. When we're talking about leaning and depending on him, the only way you can trust him is you got to have faith to believe that he exists. A lot of times we have a problem with us because we don't really take in the word of God. Every time we walk through the doors of the church for worship service, Bible study, you're hearing the word of God. So it's serving to build your faith in Christ. As it builds your faith in Christ, you gain more trust in him because you have more knowledge of him, and you can start believing in the things that he's saying in the word of God. Every time you hear the word of God on the radio, when you read your Bible, you start to build more faith and confidence in your Lord and Savior. So when you're talking about leaning and depending on the Lord, the first thing we got to do is we got to have trust in him in order to believe that he can do the things that he said that he can do. See, it's hard to believe that God is going to heal you. It's hard to believe that God is going to prosper you. It's hard to have a successful life if you don't believe and have trust in him. Trust is a major thing when it comes down to God because he wants his people to have dependency on him. See, when he created mankind, he created us to be dependent upon him, not to be dependent upon ourselves. See, a lot of times we look at ourselves for a lot of things. And when you really look at your own lifestyle, and I can look back on some of the things of myself. When I first got out of the house, when I finished high school, when I was doing things of myself, I wasn't leaning and depending on the Lord. I was looking at myself. I was doing what I wanted to do and not what Jesus said. Even though I grew up in the church, even though I was being taught by my grandparents, even though I listened to the sermons, I still wanted to do things on my own. And we got a lot of folks like that right now. So a lot of times we can't really get discouraged when it comes down to our children, because when we look at our lifestyle, when we look at how we came up, when we start off with a rough lifestyle as well. But in order to lean and depend on the Lord, we got to have trust in him. And that's why Solomon was one of the wisest men ever walked this earth. He asked God for wisdom. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask God to do anything special for him. He just asked for wisdom. And because of the wisdom, God blessed him tremendously. But he ended up being a wise man. And because of his wisdom, a lot of people learn how to focus and have a better relationship on the Lord. Solomon said in his that we got to trust in the Lord. He said we don't just need to just trust in him some. We got to trust in him with all our heart. When you look at the word heart right here, we're looking at our emotions. We're looking at our will. We're looking at our discernment, our reflections. So he wants us to put everything that we have, and we need to trust in him with all of our heart. In other words, don't leave nothing out. See, we got a strange relationship with God sometimes. We want to give God just a little bit. We just want to just turn a little bit of stuff over to God. But God wants everything from us. When he say all our heart, he mean every bit of it. So we got to trust him in everything. It don't matter what's going on in your life. It don't matter what the situation look like. We still got to trust him. We got to trust God in the good and in the bad. See, he never said that our life was going to be easy as being Christian people. He said that we got to trust him. So Solomon was trying to spread wisdom. He wanted us to understand in order to be successful in life, we got to learn how to trust on our Lord and Savior. And so when we learn to trust on him, we'll learn how to live a life that's pleasing in his sight. Through our Proverbs, we see the reward of trusting in or clinging to with the ideal of setting our hope and confidence upon the Lord as opposed to the futility of resting in our own wisdom and seeking our own way. We have to understand that that's what God is looking for from us, is to trust him. To trust in the Lord wholeheartedly means we should not rely or lean on our understanding for our human insight, or because it's never enough for us. All wisdom a person may acquire can never replace the need for full trust in God's superior ways. God's ways are incomprehensible, yet he is trustworthy. A lot of times we don't understand God. God is strange. God moves in his own time. He do things in his own ways. Sometimes we can pray to God for every day for things, and God will move when he get ready to move. We ain't the only ones who go through that. We had the apostles who went through that. We had great men of God who went through that. What makes us think that we're different? So God is a strange God. Even though we can't comprehend some of the things that he do, he's still a trustworthy God. And that's, we got to learn how to trust in him with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our mind. God designed his creation to have a dependency on him, upon him. Even the ordinary decisions of a day-to-day need the counsel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how small the decisions is. Don't matter what we're going to do. We still have to lean and depend upon him. And that's what we have to do in order, the small minute details, the small things, we still have to give it over to God. And that's what he's saying, that he said that we have to trust him with all our heart. In other words, we can't leave nothing out. Because God is a God that knows everything. And even though we say that we trust him, even though we say we've been praying to him, God knows when we leave stuff out. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. So we got to trust in the Lord. It says in here also that we got to lean not unto thine own understanding. What is God talking about? We can't lean on our own understanding. Part of our major problem is us trying to do things according to our own will and do it according to our understanding. You might not be able to fully understand the Word of God. By reading, by studying, by being taught the Word of God, you will understand some things, but you might not be able to fully understand everything when it comes down to the Word of God. But we got to not lean upon our own understanding. When we lean upon our own understanding, leaning has the sense of putting your whole weight on something, resting on and trusting in that person or thing. When you lean upon your own understanding, you put all your trust in yourself. Amen. I wouldn't trust myself out the door. Amen. Not when it comes down to God. I'm telling you right now, God has to be your lead. He got to be your guide in everything that you do. If you trusting in yourself, you a crazy person. You one of them people that's in the Bible that names and say you a fool. See, you got to understand, that's what's wrong with this world right now. That's why our communities are jacked up. That's why our households are jacked up. That's why this world is jacked up. Because we got too many folks that want to lean and depend on their own understanding. If you want to lean and depend on yourself, then you're going to have problems when it comes down to God. See, we got to learn to trust His word, because His word is what we got to stand on. See, that's how Adam and Eve got into trouble in the Garden of Eden, trying to lean upon their own understanding. God gave them instructions, and they want to do things their own way. How many times we have been through that with ourselves? God tells us to do one thing, and we go another way. If you learn to follow Him, then you can't mess up. We got to trust Him. And it says, lean not unto thy own understanding. When we have an important decision to make, we sometimes feel that we can't trust anyone, not even God. And one of the reasons why we can't trust Him is because we won't turn everything over to Him. See, we got to turn ourselves over to Him in order to be able to trust Him. So, like I said, when we continue to lean upon our own understanding and trying to do things according to our own way, then we won't ever be able to fully trust our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about God telling you to do something that's strange, and you thinking that it's a crazy thing to do. But if you follow what He says, if we do what He say, then it'll turn out all right. It can't turn out all right when we start making decisions for ourselves. See, that's what's wrong with a lot of times our children right now. See, we got kids that want to make decisions for themselves. See, we try to tell them different. See, when you're talking about following wisdom and following people, see, we done been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. We already know that stuff. See, they try to pull the wool over our eyes like we slow. We didn't did all that stuff. We didn't did all that stuff in college. We didn't did that stuff when we got out of college. We didn't did that stuff when we got out of high school. And we trying to fool our folks. When you got wisdom, you can't put it over your parents' eyes. That's the same way God operates. When we try to do crazy stuff, God ain't slow. God ain't stupid. He know exactly what you're doing. See, we want our children to obey us, but we don't want to obey the Lord. What kind of lifestyle you going to have when you don't want to obey Him? Amen. See, when you lean upon your own understanding, you are living a disobedient lifestyle. And you're not obeying your Lord and Savior. Amen. So you can't be a light to your children. You can't be a light to your neighbor. You can't be a light to your family member, because you're disobedient to the Lord yourself. Amen. See, nobody has to tell you that you're disobedient. See, all you got to do is read the word of God for yourself. All you got to do is listen. See, people that said if you can't read, they got on recorder and all different translations, different languages. There ain't no excuse not to know the word of God now. See, our folks have more wisdom than we do right now, and they couldn't even read. I mean, these folks couldn't even hardly even read the words that we can read right now, and they have way more wisdom than we have. We do foolish stuff and think that we can pull the wool over God's eyes. We cannot lean upon our own understanding. That's why He said that we got to trust in Him, and we cannot lean upon our own understanding. We must not be wise in our own eyes. We should always be willing to listen to and be corrected by God's word and wise counselors. See, when you up under a man of God, like we up under, the pastor that we have, he a preacher, he a teacher, he is anointed by God, we got no excuse but to be living right. You can read the word of God for yourself. You can follow along with your pastor, and you can see the things that he's teaching, and we still want to lean upon our own understanding. We got to bring all our decisions to God in prayer. We need to use the Bible as our guide and then follow God's lead. And that's what we have to do. We got to be able to follow God's lead. You can't do anything apart from your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those who know themselves find their own understanding is not dependable. If we lean on our understanding, we will fail. That's one of the reasons why a lot of us are not successful in life. We're not talking about having fortune and fame, riches and money. We're talking about being successful and just living a plain life. A lot of us not successful because we want to lean and depend on our own understanding. So we got to understand, we looking at Proverbs. We got one of the wisest men who wrote this and want us to understand that this wisdom that he had, we have to not lean on our own understanding, but we have to trust in the Lord, the God of our salvation. Not only that, he says that we got to acknowledge him in all our ways. When you talking about acknowledging your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that's very important. Because when you have knowledge of him, when you learn about him and you know the word of God for yourselves, then you have to give God credit in every area of your life. That's what we have to do. Our problem of it is we want to acknowledge and give folks everybody credit but the Lord. Sometimes I just watch people. I just want to just see what they're going to say about God. They can be successful. They can have everything. They'll give everybody credit, but they just won't give the Lord no credit. When you're talking about being acknowledging him, to receive God's guidance, we must acknowledge God in all our ways. The word acknowledge is an expressive term, which includes not only the accumulation of learning, but also the practical and experiential action based upon one's theoretical knowledge. In other words, when you learn more about him, then we have to put it to practice by living according to God's word. Amen. You can't say you love Jesus, that you trust him, but you live like a devil. Amen. Can't nobody control that but yourself. Your mama can't control it. Your daddy can't control it. You the only individual that can control the way you live. You do not acknowledge him. You do not lift God up when you're living any kind of way. We're not trying to discredit anybody or be down to anybody. You know yourself. I can't talk for you. I don't know what you're doing. I can't say if you're a good person or a bad person. I can only talk for myself. And all I can tell you is, as I learn more about him, as I lean and depend upon him, I'm going to acknowledge him in everything that he do. Because acknowledging him is big for the Lord. Because he want to be acknowledged so that people can know who he is. In other words, when you have neighbors, when you have co-workers, when you have family members, when you talk about the Lord, they looking for how your lifestyle line up according to what you say. The way you live acknowledges him. It's just as simple as that. You don't acknowledge God when you live in any kind of way. You can't acknowledge him living like a devil. That's why it's very important how you live your lifestyle in front of folks. If you're going to be a witness for Christ, then make sure you live in a lifestyle that could be a light for him. Amen. People look at your lifestyle. Amen. People look at how you carry yourself, how you talk, your demeanor, or how you treat other people. You can't mistreat other folks and say you love Jesus all the time. And we have folks that said they love the Lord, but they mistreat people all the time. You cannot take advantage of people because you can. You cannot mistreat them because you can. You got to learn how to acknowledge your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when you're talking about acknowledging him, this means turning every area of your life over to him. Acknowledging him is not just a nod of recognition, but is a intimate knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have to understand that we got to trust in him. We can't lean upon our own understanding, but we have to acknowledge God in everything that we do. So you don't have to tell people all the time about Jesus. You don't have to acknowledge what he does for you. What acknowledges him is how you live your lifestyle. And that's the most important thing. See, a lot of churches are having issues. They're struggling right now. Some of them are down on membership. And partly because of the way we live. Folks don't want to have nothing to do with Jesus when they see you. And the reason why they don't want to have nothing to do with Jesus is because of the way you live your lifestyle. If you're not acknowledging him in every fiber of your being, they don't want to have a live for Jesus like that. They want somebody who acknowledging God and that God is blessing their lives because of the fact that they're living according to God's will. We got to be an example of him. And when we're an example of him, people want to know the Jesus that we have that live in us. And as they want to know Jesus that live in us, then they want to come get a life to Christ. Because they want to live according to the way you live, because you live a good lifestyle. So what you do around other people has a great effect on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ cannot go out. It cannot go forward, because sometimes the way we live our life. So God is looking for how we live our lifestyle. So in all our ways that prove pleasant, in which we gain our point or point us in the right direction, we must acknowledge God with thankfulness. But in all our ways that prove uncomfortable, that we are hedged up and thorns must be acknowledged God with submission and to his will. So in other words, if we're going through or struggling through some things and you having a relationship with Christ and you love the Lord, no matter how uncomfortable your lifestyle is, no matter how many thorns that the devil throw your way, you still have to do it with submission to God's will. So in other words, we still have to be thankful. We still have to acknowledge him no matter what we go through. When we're going through things in our life, is not a pass to live our life any kind of way. We cannot turn on God because God allow us to go through things. God allows us to go through things because he's trying to get us to a point to where we have a better relationship with him. We're not going to always have a great lifestyle. They're not going to always go our way. We're not always going to have a great day. But we still have to acknowledge our personal Lord and Savior. That's what God is looking for from us. And when people see us struggling, when they see us going through things, and we still can give God glory, we still give him honor, then that does a great thing for people who don't believe in Christ. They want to know the hope that you have in you for yourself. If you got to understand that your lifestyle is a light, is a beacon for those who don't know who Jesus is. That's how they get hope. That's how they see how Jesus operates in our lifestyle. See, when people in the world go through stuff, a lot of times they want to do things to themselves. They have a bad attitude. They want to go around cursing people out. They want to go around mistreating people. But we got to understand that when God is allowing us to go through things, we still have to acknowledge him as our personal Lord and Savior. We still got to be thankful unto him. We still got to lift him up, and we still have to praise his holy name. What better time is it to praise God and to lift him up than when you're going through things? We're not always going to have a lifestyle that's going to be pleasant and we're not going to go through things. God never promised that to us. And so you got to understand that as you build a better relationship with him, as you trust in him more, the devil's going to throw more things your way. And the reason why he's going to do that, because he wants you to not lean and depend on Christ. He wants you to lean and depend upon yourself. Our understanding of the Word of God can be better by just continuing to acknowledge him and continue to do what God wants us to do in our life. So not only that, he says that he shall direct thy paths. When you look at this word right here, he says Solomon wanted the people to understand that, okay, first of all, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. He said, then you can't lean upon your own understanding. In other words, he's not just talking about just leaning some, he's talking about leaning hard on your own understanding. He said, in all your ways, he says, in all of them, you got to acknowledge him. He says, and then he shall direct your paths. So when you look at the word direct, it's talking about make your path straight. That's huge for us, because a lot of times, some of us, we live good lives. The Lord has blessed us. The Lord has allowed us to come up with one or two material things. The Lord has blessed us with good jobs. He kept us focused and going in the right direction because we had trust in him and did what we had to do. But a part of that is we have a good lifestyle because he had direct our path. When you talk about that right there, as a person trusts in the Lord and acknowledges him, he finds that God make his path straight. What we mean by that is, this means more than just guidance. In other words, it's not just because you're just being guided by the pastor or the word of God. It means that God removes obstacles, making a smooth path or way of life, or perhaps a better, bringing one to an appointed goal. In other words, that's what God does for us. We don't always see that we're going down the wrong path, or we don't always see that there's obstacles in the path, because sometimes God removes them for us. He removes them because it is a reward for being faithful to him. See, we ought to have consolation in serving our Lord and Savior, because we're not going to always have rainy days. And see, we got to understand that we're going to have some rainy days, because the word of God said that he let it rain on the just as well as the unjust. He also said that the sun shine on the just as well as the unjust. So in other words, they're not going to be the only ones who are going to struggle and go through things. We are too. And sometimes we look at folks. You know, I had this thing about me when I first got saved and I first really started to get serious about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had this thing that I had to question God. And the reason why I had to question him is because I was just trying to figure out, you got these folks who don't even serve you. I mean, I'm serious. This is me. You got these folks who don't even give you no time. They don't give you no time. They don't give you no tithe. And they don't give you no talent. But it just seemed like blessings just raining down everywhere. I mean, think about it. I mean, you just think about your surroundings. Think about some folks you know that don't even give God no time. I work with some people on my job who is atheists. It seemed like God was just giving them everything. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong. But we got to understand that's just how God is. See, when we have a relationship with him, he treats us different. See, we got to earn some things through him by our faithfulness to him. And because of that, he removes obstacles. When he removes obstacles, he make our path smooth. So in other words, you ain't going to go down there no rough path, because the Lord that we serve. See, we got to really look at that and focus on that. And I had my focus and attention on that so much that God has said, you got to start watching them people. I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, these folks got big houses. They got big boats. They got RVs. They got money. They going on big trips. They going doing all kind of stuff. But God showed me some things. And he said, let me show you what's going on with some of these folks. See, some of them people live over in the mountains, see, they got some of us selling drugs for them. Some of these folks got, they got a different kind of hobby than you got.
Some of these folks doing money laundering and doing everything up under the sun. So God had to show me some of these folks ain't being blessed. They out here doing everything up under the sun. But they got to pay for that stuff one day. So you might not have what they have. You might be driving around in a Pinto. You might be living in a small house. You might not have a big salary. But guess what? You got a relationship with the Lord. That means more to you than anything, having a relationship with Him. When you got a relationship with Jesus, can't nobody take that away. See, everybody want to live for the say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Everybody want to live for that. But the thing about it is, you got to have a relationship with Him in order for that. Proverbs teaches that those who follow wisdom have an easier, less problematic life. In other words, we will have a less problematic life. We have to just continue to serve the Lord. Don't focus on the situation that's going on at hand in your life right now. Don't focus on what the devil is trying to take you through. Don't focus on what God is allowing you to go through. Because Proverbs teaches this. In Solomon's wisdom, he was saying, listen, if you live by these principles, if you do what the Lord say do, I promise you that you're going to have a less problematic life. I started looking at that. You know, they was doing this documentary on Britney Spears. And when you look at this documentary, you know, they was showing how, you know, how she started out and how she is now. And the thing about it is we got to really look at ourselves and look at sometimes we might not have what other folks have. But we got peace, we got joy, and we got understanding. They were saying things in there about stuff like she got to drink coffee and take all kind of drugs to stay up for several days. And then she'll sleep for several days. I don't want to live a life like that. I want the Lord to just have me in peace. I don't want to live a life like that. See, when we start desiring to be like some of these folks, God allow us to get in this situation and you'll have a bad lifestyle. So when you look at this right here, Proverbs teaches that those who follow wisdom have a easier, less problematic life. And so we got to understand that. We got to make Jesus a vital part of everything that you do. We got to make him a vital part of everything that you do. You can't leave Jesus out of nothing. I don't care what you do, you can't leave him out. When you take Jesus everywhere you go, you'll find yourself doing less crazy stuff. What I mean by doing less crazy stuff, you know what I'm talking about. The stuff that we do, we think we are away from our church folks and can't nobody see what we're doing. That's exactly what I'm talking about. When we make him a vital part of our life, we will learn that Jesus can see us everywhere that we go. He just can't see us on Sunday and on Tuesday night. He can see us everywhere that we go. Then he will guide us. He will guide us because you will be working to accomplish the purpose that he have in your life. He will make our path straight by both guiding and protecting us as well. Our God is a protector. He is a leader. He is a guider. And he is there for us. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what the situation is, no matter what we have, we got to live by certain principles in order so that God can smooth our life out so that we can have a less problematic life. If you're going through a lot of things, give it all to Jesus. Give it all to him. He's the only one. He is the only one that can do anything about it. I can't do nothing about it. Pastor can't do nothing about it. Your parents can't do nothing about it. Jesus is the only one that can do anything about anything that we're going through. So we got to understand that no matter what's going on in our life, we got to lean and depend upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can't depend upon ourselves. If your intellect tell you to do something,
Don't even worry about it. Just ignore it. Do what the Lord tell you to do. No matter what it is. No, even if it sounds crazy, if it looks stupid, we don't know what God leading us. We don't know what God taking us. We got to do what he say do. And if we do that, we will have less problems in our life. Amen? May God bless you and God keep you. Amen. We want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. And we ask that we continue to remember our sick and shut-in, those that's on our sick and shut-in list. We ask that you remember our bereaved family. You know, they need comforting. They need peace. And so we got to remember them. Amen. So do we have any prayer requests tonight? Peaches. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? All right. There'll be no other prayer requests. We just ask you to stand where you are, and we'll close out in prayer. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you tonight, dear God. And we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your lesson. And we pray, dear God, that it did not fall on deaf ears. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you just give us listening ears to Heavenly Father and give us a heart that's ready to understand. And we pray, dear God, that your word go forward, dear Heavenly Father, to accomplish what you sent it out to do. We thank you, dear God, for all of those who are here, those who are watching virtually, dear Heavenly Father. And we pray, dear God, that they receive the blessing, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask the Lord you continue to work with this church family, dear Heavenly Father. We ask the Lord that you continue to touch our pastor, dear Heavenly Father. Protect him, lead and guide him, dear Heavenly Father. Anoint him, dear God, wherever he is. And we pray, dear God, that you just continue to watch over his family, dear Heavenly Father, all day and night long, dear God. And place a hedge of protection around them, dear God. We ask the Lord that you just work with those that are sick. Those that shut in, dear Heavenly Father, we ask the Heavenly Father to heal them, dear Heavenly Father, according to their will, dear Heavenly Father. You know, dear Heavenly Father, what they stand in the need of, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask that you grant, dear Heavenly Father, according to your will right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, right now for healing their afflicted bodies, dear Heavenly Father. We ask, dear God, that you restore them, dear Heavenly Father, to the point that you want them to restore, dear God, and we thank you for them right now, in Jesus' holy name, dear Heavenly Father. And we just ask, dear God, that you just continue, dear Heavenly Father, work with our bereaved family, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you comfort them, strengthen them, console them, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask, dear Lord, that you just place laborers across their path, dear God. Let them know, dear Heavenly Father, that you don't make any mistakes. And we thank you for it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We just ask, dear God, that all those that request tonight, dear Heavenly Father, that you fulfill their request, dear Heavenly Father. You know what they need, dear God, as they travel to Heavenly Father, those that are sick, dear Heavenly Father, those that are in ICU, dear God. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you just heal them, dear God, and that you just protect them, dear God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We're so thankful for you, dear God, and we thank you for, dear God, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for everything that you're doing for us, dear God. Continue to bless this church, dear Lord. Bless this church family, dear Heavenly Father, and enable us, dear God, to be a light, dear God, that's set up on a hill. Help us, dear God, to be diligent about your business, and help us, dear God, to be focused on you. We praise you, dear God, and we magnify your holy name, and we thank you, dear God, right now for everything that you have done for us. We're so thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for your will and your ways, dear God. We pray, dear God, that you continue to work with our youth, dear Heavenly Father, work with our youth department, dear God, continue to protect and watch over our children, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask the Lord, as they get ready, dear God, to get out of school, dear Heavenly Father, that you just begin to protect them, dear Heavenly Father. Leave their minds, dear Heavenly Father, stayed upon you, dear God. Don't let them go astray, dear Heavenly Father. But help them, dear God, to be focused on your word, dear God, and help them to be active, dear Heavenly Father, so that their mind won't be idle, dear Heavenly Father. Satan, we rebuke you, and we just bind and hinder you in every way possible. We come against every foul, every hindering spirit, everything that hinders the word of God, the God from going forward. We bind it up right now. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We cast down every false imagination, every halted thing, anything that hinders us, dear God, for just continuing to live according to your will. We bind it up right now. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. And we cast down every false imagination and every halted thing in Jesus' holy name. We thank you, Lord, right now. We praise you, dear God. And we pray, dear God, as we leave this place, dear Heavenly Father, that you protect us, dear God. Able us to get back to our destination safely. Place a hedge of protection around all of us, dear Heavenly Father. Lead and guide us, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you. We praise you and we magnify you. And we just pray to God, when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, you have all the glory, and you have all the honor. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Great job.